Well, today we are so glad that you and your family are here. I notice we have a few guests this morning, and like most Sundays here, and you are welcome here today, and we're so glad that you and your family have chosen to worship with us today. Well, we have been going this summer on a subject that we have started, and we have titled the series called Characters of the Bible. And we've been looking at different Bible characters and looking not only at different characters of the Bible, but also looking at some character traits these people represented and some things we can pull from their life of value. And today I want to talk to you about somebody you probably have very seldom heard about. There's not a lot written about this particular person in the Bible, but I believe there's some very good nuggets of truth and some challenges that can challenge us today if we'll allow it to challenge our heart. And I want to talk to you about Enoch. Not to be confused with eggnog. This is Enoch, okay? Enoch, a man who walked with God. The man who walked with God. Today, how many know that when we hear at different times in our life, we hear news, we can go through things in our life where we can hear some devastating news that can really bring your focus back into what's really valuable to your life. Whether it's a sickness or disease, or whether it's somebody close to you that's giving life or death news, or something happens in your life, when you go through things that you feel like you're cruising right along at 32,000 feet, in that comfortable airline seat, and all of a sudden your plane goes, and you start diving down to the bottom. On the way down, all of a sudden, you kind of get your priorities straight, don't you? You go through things in life where you say, you know what? I really didn't need to be worrying about a lot of this other stuff, and some of these things that I really worried about and have been trying to do really don't matter at this point in time in my life. What's really important is that I have a good relationship with God, that I have a value system that allows my heart to be where it needs to be with God. And then it's right before we hit the ground, it seems like the nose of the plane gets right there touching the dirt, that God seems to pull us back up and put us back on cruise control again. But he uses things like that in our life to get our attention, to get our values right. He'll use things in our life to refocus our values and make sure that we have the right thing, and the main thing, the main thing. I remember when I was a kid, I had just received my first boat. And like many kids, I had dreamed about having my first boat and how I would sail around the world. And of course, this boat blew up, you know, and it was like more like a raft, to be honest with you. It was a one-man raft, and I had a paddle with it, a one-man raft with a paddle. Now, you got to put yourself out there. I'm about, you know, 10, 11 years old, and I've got this one-man raft with the paddle. Now, you know, at that age, that's every boy's dream. You know, we can think about it in our mind, just dream about how we're going to, you know, how we're going to do this and that. And I couldn't wait to get it out to the lake and take it out to the lake and to test it out and to take it out there for the first time. And I remember running with that thing on top of my head from the car. Took that thing on the back of the truck and running and jumping in the lake with that thing and taking it out there deep. And it was like, you know, independence here. I can go as deep as I want and, you know, even though I wasn't supposed to be out that deep, I kept testing the waters, going out a little further than I should have, and showing off. And I decided, you know what, this would be a great thing to do, is to jump off this boat and to jump into the water. And so, you know, I'm out here in the deep, I can do this. And so I remember jumping off my one-man raft and diving into the water. I was a good swimmer, and so, you know, I could handle this. And so I jumped off the boat and off my one-man raft, leaving my paddle in the boat. And as I jump, of course, you know what happens. You jump, the boat goes this way, and your body goes one way. And I remember coming up and seeing the boat. It caught a drift right into to a kind of a current, okay? There was this current going out there in the deep part of the lake. And my boat caught this current and began to go away fastly, go away. And I began to panic, had this panic attack, thinking, what am I going to do? My boat is going away. I've waited all my life. I've been looking at it in the catalog, told my grandma I wanted it for my birthday, and I finally got this boat, and it's taking off. And so what do? I begin to swim after my boat. But as I'm swimming, I'm noticing that I'm getting a lot further away from the shore. And so I am at a point where I have to make a choice. I think I can probably catch up to my boat. But that boat is moving away at a fast pace. And there's probably a chance I don't catch up with that boat. And I know if I use all my energy going out deeper, that by the time I realize I can't get to the boat, that I'm going to have to make a choice. Either I play it safe and go back to shore and just let my boat go, or I go after the boat. If I get there, then I've saved my boat. But if I don't, I'm probably going to drown because I wouldn't have enough energy to make it back and swim enough back to a place where it's safe. And so at that point in my life, I had to make a decision. Do I go after my boat or do I take the safe way and save myself? And it was a crossroads, but of course I came to my senses and said, you can't take a chance. This is no way you can take a chance. Play it safe and use your energy to swim back the shore. And so I swim back the shore. Lost my boat, you know, and wasn't too happy about it. But you know, how many times in our life have we come across those times in our life when we just, you know, we'll do something stupid like take after the boat. Or we'll try to hold on to something that we shouldn't hang on to. And instead of letting, you know, making the wise decisions and saying, you know what, I've got to save myself here. I can't risk my life for this stupid boat. I've got to allow myself to do the safe thing. And at the time, I had to really decide, you know, it's more important to save my life than it is to worry about this boat. It's kind of like getting your priorities right. There was these three men who were at a funeral, who were going to a funeral, and they were talking, not actually going to a funeral, but they were asking, what would you like to be said at your funeral? What would you like your friends to tell you or say about you at your funeral? And the first man spoke up and said, I want my friends to say he was a very good person. The second man they asked, what would you like to have said at your funeral about you? And he said, I want people to say that I was a giving person. That I left my family a lot of things, and I gave people a lot of things. And they asked the last man, what do you want your friends to say about you at your funeral? He goes, I want people to walk up and say, look, he's moving. You know, it's, sometimes you just got to get your priorities, you know, into check, you know, and really cut through the chase of what really is important. What really is the things that are important? And we see this in Enoch's life, that he had his values right. Even though there's not a lot mentioned about Enoch here, we see that he was a man who walked with God. Let's pick it up here in Genesis 5:24. It says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I want to talk to you about just a couple of things here. First of all, a simple and genuine relationship is what pleases God the most. A simple and genuine relationship is what pleases God the most. We learn this from Enoch's life, that it's something that pleased God about his walk with God. It's a simple, genuine, healthy relationship with God that pleases him the most. Not a formal religion, he's not interested in people who can walk around and strut and have all this religiosity and theology down and can put on a show that impresses other Christians, but it's a clean, refreshing relationship with Jesus that really pleases him the most. We find this out in Hebrews 11:5. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Suddenly he disappeared because God took him. But before he was taken up, he was approved as pleasing to God. And so today, we know that Enoch was walking with God. And this is kind of what happened right here. Come here, Justin. I'll be Enoch and you can be God, okay? We know you've always wanted to play this according to your wife. But it says that Enoch and God had this kind of relationship. That when they went through the day, they just kind of walked together like this. Hey, God, what's up? Not too much, right? How are you today, God?
Muy bien.
Oh, sí. ¿Cómo estás? Sí, señor. Okay. Anyway, so they're going along. And this is how they walk, man. They walked in good fellowship. God, I just love being with you. Man, thanks for coming and walking with me today. And it says that God enjoyed his company so much that God looked at him and said, you know what? I just love this fellowship thing. Every day we walk like this and we talk like this. And it said that God loved him so much that God said, Enoch, you know what? I don't want you to die before you get to heaven. How about I just take you right now? And he was gone. I mean, you're talking about, thank you, God, okay, talking about something happening here that was supernatural. I mean, what kind of person would you be to have to please God so much he says, you don't have to die to get to heaven. I'm just going to take you right now. I like this right here. Enoch, I like this thing. You walk with me, and we talk, and we have this relationship that pleases me so much that, you know what, I'm just going to bring you now. I mean, can you imagine pleasing God that much? That God couldn't even wait for you to die, that he wanted to bring you to heaven right there. I mean, that's kind of an awesome testimony of a life of somebody who had a relationship with God. And it's in those relationships we find it. It's in the purity of the walk with God that pleases him the most. It's in the purity of our simplicity of saying, God, I just want to walk with you every day.
God, I just want to talk with you every day. God, I just want to know more about you. God, tell me more about who you are. And God, this is who I am. And God, I just want to please you. God, can you just live your life through me? I mean, it was simple, so simplistic, but yet so genuine that it pleased God. As we think about that, how many things really please God? And how many times has God really done this? And it took me back to the New Testament to when Jesus was baptized. And we see that Jesus, that the voice of heaven in Matthew 3:17, it says, "And behold, a voice out of heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So once again, we see the heavens opening up. You know, Enoch's working with God, walking with God, and he says, you know, "Hey, man, I'm pleased with you. I'm going to take you. Man, let's go." Then we see where Jesus is baptized, and then Jesus, the heavens open up, and God says, "Man, this is my beloved Son. I am very well pleased." Took time to split open the heavens and speak audibly. Right there, everybody who was around heard it and seen it. As I think about that, you know, I studied this out, and look at this. This occurs right here in Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 1, we have all the begots, you know, who begot who and who the lineage is. And then in Matthew chapter 2, we see the birth of Christ. But in Matthew chapter 3, we see where he begins to step into public ministry, where he gets baptized and then therefore goes out in the public ministry. But do you realize at this point that Jesus had done nothing in public ministry, as far as we know right here? He had done no miracles. Now I'm just kind of the person that believes probably his mom and dad knew. It was like, you know, "I got a headache. Can you do that headache thing?" Okay, you know, I'm sure they knew. But as far as public record of people knowing, there was nothing really done here, you know. There's nothing really done here where he is doing in public ministry. So when God splits open the heaven and says, "I am very pleased, this is my Son," he didn't say, "I'm very pleased with the Savior of the world." He didn't open the heaven and say, "I'm very pleased with this miracle worker." He didn't say, "I'm very pleased at this great prophet. I'm not very pleased with this great teacher." No, he says, "I'm very pleased with my Son." See, there was something about that relationship, the purity of the relationship with the Father, that even God opened up the heavens and said, "Man, I'm pleased. I'm pleased." That's the kind of favor that Enoch had right here. The same thing. It was the purity of the relationship that he had with God. It was not the purity of his education. It was not the purity of his theology. It was the purity of his relationship with God, of walking with God, that God said, "I want him to come and be with me." There's something about the purity that we can miss of the simple relationship that God longs to have with every one of us every day. It pleased the Father. We can be a good Christian but not have a good relationship with God. Let me say it again. We can be a good Christian but not have a good relationship with God. I've seen marriages where people had marriages that were good, kind of good, but they had no relationship. I've seen parents who had children who they were family, but there really wasn't a good relationship. Something's happened to strain that there. It's possible to be a part of the family and not have a good relationship. And the same thing with God. It's possible to be a Christian and not have a good relationship with God. And if you want to please the Lord, it comes to finding out, how do I have a good relationship with God? I want that. Do you want that? I know we all want that. How do I have a good relationship with God? We can find it right here in Enoch's heart. He walked with the Lord. It wasn't about Enoch's theology. It wasn't about his religiosity. It wasn't that he was a part of the Sanhedrin. It wasn't a part that he had the great-looking hat, you know, that was up there and he had the robe. It wasn't anything about all that. It was about his purity of his heart of walking with God. And many times we lose the very fact that God wants that pure relationship with you and I. That God longs for anything just to have a simple, pure relationship. It says, "God, I'm not going to walk unless I walk with you. God, I'm not going to make a decision unless you move my heart. God, I'm not going to make it a stay unless you go with me." And God, not only do I want you to go with me, I want to hear what's going on. I want you to direct my path. God, I want you to reveal who you really are to my life. I mean, how many times do we really, let's be honest, how many times do we really approach our day that way? And say, "God, just reveal who you are to me today in simple things. God, I just want to walk with you today." Oh, many times we'll get up and say, "God, you know, be with me today," and we'll go along, and
We want his presence at times, and at times we pray to him. But how many times do we really, I'm talking about really, walk with the Lord throughout our day? Where he is just right there, and you hear his every word is talking to you, and you're talking back to him. Maybe you're not doing it out loud, but in your mind, in your heart, you're hearing him direct you, and you're just in constant fellowship with God every day. This is the kind of relationship that we see in Enoch's life, that so much that it pleased God. There's got to be a genuine relationship with Jesus that makes a difference. Then he'll funnel the kingdom through us. He'll open up the skies and let humanity see who he is through us. You know, I just came back from a trip with my kids, and when we go on these trips, you know, maybe you can understand my 6-year-old and my 8-year-old and my 10-year-old especially. I mean, we get out a car at the hotel and they want the key to the room. And so we go up, they want to, instead of taking the fast way, they want to push the button and go through the slow door. And so we push the button and go through the slow door. And then we go to the elevator and they get in and they got to figure out, they got to push the elevator button. And then we get in, they got to figure out where the number it is and they want to push that button. And when we get out, they want the key to unlock the door. And we wait 5 minutes for them to figure out that card, getting that green light. You know what I'm talking about. You know, it takes forever. And then we finally get into the room. And as a father, you know, I could do things without them a lot faster. Let's be honest. You know, I could zip right through the fastest door. I could push the button right away, and I can put that card in and out and be in my room a lot faster. But you know what? I take a lot of joy in seeing my children do what they want to do through that. I can do things myself, yes, but it's a lot more fulfilling for me to see my kids learning how to manage the world and see how to get around and figure things out and how to figure out how to get around this big motel and how to do things. They like to figure out how to get water down and take a drink. And our kids like to do things like that all the time. And, you know, they want to go out and they want to unlock the door and they want to start the car. And, you know, all the things you could do faster and probably do better, they like to do it. And as a parent, there's a lot of joy in that. Now, if your kid wants to do that, I don't take joy in that, okay? I don't like watching your kids do those things, but in my kids, I like watching them do those things because I'm learning to let them experience the world and to see things happen through their hand. And this is the same way it is with the Father, that the truth is with you and I, that there's a healthy relationship with God. God takes great pleasure in doing his will through his children than apart from them. God takes more pleasure when his will is done through his children than rather in spite of them. That's the way it is. God takes great pleasure in using you to accomplish his will, and using me to accomplish his will. Does God need me to accomplish his will? No. He could do it without me if he wanted to. But he takes more pleasure in seeing me be used to accomplish his will. The same way I take pleasure in seeing my children do things that maybe I could do better, but I'm seeing them accomplish something, and it brings me great excitement. It brings me great joy as a parent to see my children growing, to see them taking on the values that I'm teaching them, to see them being obedient, to see them exploring the world and growing and maturing. As a parent, that brings us a lot of joy, doesn't it? God's no different with us. He could do things without us, but he brings a lot more joy when he can do things through us, and he wants to do his will through us. He takes greater pleasure in seeing his will done through him. And so knowing that, we've got to realize that, number two, that the enemy's target is to dilute our living relationship. That the enemy's target is, he does not want God's will to be through your life. He doesn't want you to have that heart of relationship with God where God is working through you. He doesn't want you. He knows that you are dangerous when you're walking with God. Now, religion does not scare the enemy at all. The devil is not scared by religion, okay? The mafia attends church. Come on, let's just talk about it here. I mean, they attend mass every Saturday and Sunday. They go. I mean, being religion does not scare Satan at all. He doesn't worry about that at all. But what he scares him the most is when you have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. That when you have a relationship and you are growing in your faith and God is working through your heart and you're working in faith and you're letting him use you and you're talking to him and communicating to him, he doesn't like that because he can't have it. Because he gave it up and he forfeited it. And through jealousy, he was kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be bigger than God. And he lost his fellowship with the Lord. And so he doesn't want you to have that relationship with God because he knows that's where the fruit's at. because he knows that's where the damage is going to come, through that relationship with God. So he's going to do anything he can to dilute your relationship with God. And so you want to do something to really aggravate the devil today? Get close to God in your relationship with him daily. It's a dilution. We know today that many of us, that we allow things to come and to dilute our relationship with God. It's not enough just to have this religion. You know, the Pharisees, they can memorize all the Old Testament, but Jesus looked at them and was like, man, you hypocrites. What are you doing? You're missing it. You've got all this religious knowledge, but you have no relationship with the Father. That's what he was saying to them. They could quote all of this Old Testament. They could quote the law, and they studied it all their life, and they had all these titles and positions of prestige. And Jesus looks at them and says, hey, man, you're missing it. It's not about all that. It's about your relationship with the Father. That's what pleases me. Not that you can quote the whole Old Testament, but do you live it? Not that you know about it, but do you have a revelation of what it really means? There was something about a purity of a relationship. And the enemy comes to fill your head with knowledge. You're okay. You attend church, so you're all right. It's okay. You know about God. You're all right. And so knowing about God is no substitute for a genuine relationship. Let me say again, knowing about God is no substitute for a genuine relationship. If we don't have a genuine relationship with God, the devil will let us live with this lifestyle of not having this relationship because he likes it, man, because he knows you are ineffective this way. We are Christians who know all about submission, but yet we don't submit. We know all about honesty, but we live dishonest lives. We know all about forgiveness, but don't cross us. See, there's something about having a relationship with God that goes beyond just knowing who God is. Because when I have a relationship with God, I can very easily submit to authority in my life. I can very easily submit to his will in my life. When I have a relationship to walk with God, I can very easily forgive those who have done me wrong. I can very easily learn to forgive those who have hurt me. And they're going to do it, aren't they? People hurt us all the time. People say things about you all the time. And as a Christian, I'm called to have a relationship that allows me to forgive them. But if I'm a religious person, I get mad. God bless God. God's wrath is going to be upon them. And religious people talk like that. Bless God, they're out of God's will, and I'm going to. That's the religion talking. But a relationship with God says, you know what? I'm going to forgive. They don't really understand what's happening. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to forgive them. See, that's having a relationship. Relationship allows you to do what God wants to do in your life. Knowing about God is no substitute for genuine relationship. I like what 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear that somehow you will be led away from your pure and simple devotion to Christ, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent. He was fearful that, you know, even though you're a Christian, you can very easily be deceived. That's what you're saying. Listen, if Eve can be deceived, you and I can be deceived. It's not about coming to church. It's just not about calling yourself a Christian. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. Walk with the Father. Walk in a close relationship. That's what pleases him the most. You know, how many here have a dog? We have any dog lovers here? How many have a dog? Raise your hand if you got a dog. Okay. How many have twins? Same thing. Okay, this is the best. This happens. Just playing around. If you don't have pets. Well, today, how many have ever done this? I had a friend that had this one time. I remember one time my friend, we were out and he bought this dog. He's like, you know what I'm going to buy? He went by the butcher, you know, and got this big old steak bone. I mean, the kind that dog is going to love. He's going to gnaw on his big old steak bone forever. You know, he's going to be his new best friend. You know, Shaggy. You know, he's got this whole new steak bone, and he goes home, and we go home, and he gets this bone out of the bag and throws it at his dog. Here, you know, look what daddy's got you. You know what that dog does? Runs over and grabs an old plastic rubber chicken and brings it to him. Like, I know you brought me this
brand new steak bone, but I'm going to hang on to this rubber nasty chicken that's been in the dirt, that's been in my doghouse, that's got fur all over it, it's got slobber all over it. I mean, it was his. And for the life of him, he couldn't get that dog to chew in that bone. How many of you have ever had an animal? I mean, you go out and you try to feed that pet, and you got the best pet food money can buy. You've got the extra rich, and it's moist, and you open that thing up out of a can or a fresh bag, and you pour it in there, and you're getting it ready. It's got all the nutrients and vitamins they need and energy to make them strong. You even got teeth whitening products in there in the food for your dog. And that dog will see an old frog going across the yard and take off after it. Ooh! It'll eat that frog and leave the food you bought right there. It'll eat an old toad and leave the food that you put out for him. Why is that? But, that's not really, it's no different than how you and I are many times in our life. Let's be honest. How many times do we settle for less than what God's best for our life? How many times are we satisfied with chewing on the old toy that we've been hanging on to for a long time? How many times, and God's got this great steak bone right here, and we'll chew on the old rubber chicken? Or how many times will we chase after an old dirty toad when God's got a great gourmet platter ready for us to give us? We'll settle for less. And having a great relationship with God is not settling for less. It's saying, God, I want to please you. I want to please you. But it's true, if you're hungry, you'll eat anything, isn't it true? But if you're hungry, you'll eat anything. I mean, when you go to the cabinet and open up and you're hungry, things you wouldn't used to eat, all of a sudden, if there's no groceries in the house, you're going to eat them, won't you? If it's too late and you don't want to go to the store and get anything, or you don't want to go through the drive-thru, you'll open up that can of Spam that's been there since Y2K. And you'll eat you some, you'll put that Spam in the microwave, warm it up, do something, you'll figure out something creative to do, and you'll eat it. Because when you're hungry, you'll fill yourself with anything. Some of you know what I'm getting at. See, in our life, we're going to fill ourselves. We get hungry, we're going to fill ourselves with anything. And if you're not walking with God in a pure relationship, you're going to fill with the wrong things in your life. You're going to settle for less than God's best. See, that's why it's important that we, as Enoch, we walk with the Lord and we please his heart. Because when I'm hungry, who's going to feed me? Right here. So when I'm walking with God, God, I need some encouragement today. I'm going to get my encouragement from him. God, me and my husband, we're having some problems today, and I'm not getting affirmation. God, I'm getting my affirmation from you. All right, this is good. But what happens if I don't get my affirmation from God? I need affirmation, so where am I going to get it from? Oh, this guy at work, he's sure telling me I look nice. See, when we're hungry, we'll eat anything. And so as I get into relationship with the Father and I walk with the Father, he becomes my supplier. He becomes the one who feeds me. God, I just need you today. God, I get my peace from you. That's right. God, I get my security from you, not MasterCard. All right. God, I know that my needs are supplied from you, not my employer. God, I know that you give me affirmation. God, I know that you love me unconditionally. God, I know. See, as I walk with the Father, but many times we'll settle for anything less. And as a youth pastor for 12 years, I used to have teenagers that would come to me and say, Pastor, how far is too far? And some of you know what I'm getting at today, okay? When it comes to relationship with guys and girls, how far is too far? How far can I go on a date and not cross the line? Because I want to go right there to the edge, and I just want to. And I would ask them, this is why I would tell them, well, how far is it too far for me to go out and be with another woman? Well, Pastor, you're married. Well, I know, but tell me, how far is too far? Well, it's different for you. You're married. So that's just too far right there. Anything's too far because you're married. I said, well, you're married also. Don't you know that you're the bride of Christ? Don't you know that you belong in fellowship with God? You see, when you're walking with the Father, you won't settle for less than his best. When you're walking with him, and at the very heart of that, it pleases God. At the very heart, the purity of the walk with God, it's what pleases him the most. Right there. You want to please God the most, you're going to walk with him. Simple and plain. Well, Pastor, what about doing all these great things for God? I tell you this, if you walk with God, your heart's going to want to do the will of the Father. And he's going to use you.
But it's not, I don't please him because I'm being used. I please him because my heart's submissive to him. I please him because I have a genuine relationship with him. That's where it all comes down to. That's where it's all at. Pleasing the Father. And not allowing Satan to come and build a wedge between my relationship with God. Because he'll very easily do it. He'll build that wedge, and yeah, I'm going to church, but I've allowed a wedge to be built there. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know what? I've kind of lost fellowship with my Father. I've kind of lost, my relationship really isn't where it needs to be. I know many of us here that if you've been in marriage for any time at all, it takes work to make it happen, doesn't it? I mean, love takes time. Love takes time, and love takes effort. Love is not love unless it includes our choice. Do you know that? Love is not love unless it includes our choice. I love what Paul wrote here in Romans. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. He was saying that, man, this choice of serving God, it's not always easy. I find myself struggling with this thing. This is Paul talking here. He's saying, I find myself struggling. Because at the very heart of it, it's still about a choice. What pleases God the most in my life? When I choose to say, God, let's walk together today. What pleases God most is when I choose to say, God, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. I want to grow in who you are. At the very heart of it, it's a choice. And love takes effort. I have a great marriage to my wife. I've been married for 15 years. But you know what? It takes effort. We have to work at it a lot of times. So a lot of times, she's got to work a lot harder than I do, but we got to work at it. You know I'm playing. But it takes an effort to work through it. We have problems and we have disagreements. And if we're not careful, our life will very easily separate because the time will pull us here and pull us there and duties we have at the church and our children and our things that happen that can very easily pull us apart. So we have to work hard at staying in fellowship. We got to work hard at telling we love each other. We got to work hard at making sure our relationship's a priority. It's a lot of work. Today, it takes work to keep that relationship with God the way it needs to be. Don't take it for granted. Don't take your marriage for granted. Don't take your relationship with God for granted. It takes work. God, today, I'm going to choose. The reason why our marriage works is because I choose to say we're going to make it work. We have chosen that we are going to make it work. And so no matter what, we choose to forgive each other. We choose to walk hand in hand and to grow in our relationship. We choose this. And so today, you've got to make a choice. God, I'm going to choose to grow in my relationship with you. It's a choice. But when you make that choice to say, God, I'm going to grow in you today. God, I'm going to walk in you today. Just know that the heavens are opening up and saying, I'm very well pleased. Are you going to let go of the boat this morning? Get your priorities straight. What is the most important thing? It still comes down to that everyday relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads this morning. This morning, as you have your heads bowed, I just want to, first of all, ask you a question today that we ask almost every week here. We've had many people here today have made this decision. A decision that says, you know what, Pastor, before I can build a relationship with God, first of all, I just need to simply ask him to be my Lord of my life. And if you're here today and nobody's looking around but me, you say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus' love today in my life. I need to make him Lord of my life. I want to accept him to my heart. I want to confess that he's Lord. And today, I'm ready to make him my Savior. I've never done that before, and today I want to do that. Nobody's looking but me. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but I want to give you a chance to respond from your heart today. If you're here today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to ask him into my heart today. Anybody here, can you raise it high? No one's looking but me. Raise it high today where I can see it. Second question I have for you today. Thank you for raising your hand. I appreciate that. Second question I have for you today is this. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but man, as you talk, I realize that my walk with God is just not where it needs to be. It's not on a daily basis. It's not like Enoch where, you know, I just fellowship with God every day. I trusted with him every day, and I wanted to know more about him, and I shared my heart, and I listened with my heart to hear what God was speaking to me. And today as you're talking, I realize that as Enoch walked with God, I want to learn to walk with God in a closer way. Not just call myself a Christian, but work at it. If you're here today, and you want to make that choice in your life, and say, Pastor, I don't want to just be a Christian, but I want to learn what it means to walk with God in a personal relationship every day. No one's looking at me. Can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to learn to do that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Several hands. Anybody else today? Thank you. Thanks for being honest, guys. This is where it starts right here. Just saying, I need to be honest before the Lord. Several hands going up. Anybody else today? That's you. You say, I need to learn this daily walk with God. Just quit calling myself a Christian, but learning to walk with God daily. Anybody else here today? You didn't raise your hand, but you want to raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thanks, guys. This morning, we had those who raised their hands for salvation today, and we are so excited to pray with you this prayer today. So if you raised your hands today and said you wanted to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior here, I want you to know today you're going to make the most important decision of your life. So I'm going to ask that all of us repeat this prayer. Can we do that together? Say, Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me my sins. I confess that I need you in my life. I confess that you are Lord of this earth. I give you my life. I give you everything I am. I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it from your heart today, we say welcome to the family of God. Can we give him a hand clap? Yeah. If you prayed that prayer today, before you leave, we have a pack in the back. Dan will make sure to be in the very back by the sound room, the very back door there. We have a free Bible for you and some other things we want to give you, some material. Make sure you stop by there and receive that free gift from us to you today. That's for you making a decision. For those of you who raised your hand today, I'm going to invite just everyone to stand this morning. Can we all stand together in closing? I want to pray a special prayer over you, those of you especially raised your hand this morning and said that you want to learn to walk that closer walk with God. Father, right now, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for open hearts to receive your word. I thank you, Lord, for our hearts that are ready, Lord, to walk closer to you. Lord, today as we study your word and see Enoch's life and see how he walked with you and how it pleased you so much that you just long for that fellowship, that God, we realize the core of our creation, we were created to have fellowship with you. That's why you created this. It's a call to walk with you on a daily basis, not just a religion, not just to say I'm a Christian, but God, it's a walk with you, a daily walk with you. It says, God, I want you to direct my path. I want you to guide my words. I want you to direct my thoughts. And I want to do things that please you. I want you to reveal more who you are to me and to guide me and to use me however you want it to do. Father, as we commit today, I pray for those who raised their hands and said they want to learn to walk with you closer. God, I pray that this week would be a starting point for a new relationship. That God, as they put forth the effort, God, to fight for the right things in their life, to make priorities, to let go of their raft, to let go of their boat that maybe that's holding them back. And Lord, to say, God, I want to submit to you today, my whole life. I want to learn to walk with you in a way that pleases you. And that's a simple walk with you that says, God, every day I'm going to walk with you. Every day I'm going to talk with you. Every day I'm going to listen to your voice. Every day I'm going to tell you what's going on in my life. Every day I'm going to learn to walk in relationship with you. That's what pleases your heart. And Father, I pray for every person who raised their hands today. God, may they have a spirit of boldness through your Holy Spirit today to come, to fill their life, to make important decisions, Lord, important priorities in our life of saying this is still the main thing. It's my walk with you, the simple walk with you every day. Father, I thank you for your word, which brings instruction and brings life to us. We accept it in Jesus' name today. We say, amen, amen. God bless you today. Shake a couple hands before you leave. You guys have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night. We have men's ministry, women's ministry, children's, youth, nursery, all provided on Wednesday nights. Come, be a part, and be involved.